Section 4. Considerations for Field Artillery Units Preparing for Large-Scale Combat Operations. Chapter 9. Preparing to Fight with Fires. Effective maneuver requires close coordination of movement with fires. To prepare an organization's joint fires enterprise for large-scale combat operations, LISCO, the following problem statement is recommended to fully understand what is collectively required from leaders at echelon and what is supported and supporting warfighting functions, WFFs. How does a brigade combat team, BCT, establish, maintain, and transition a permissive joint fires environment at echelon to shape the BCT deep fight and mass effects in the close fights in support of tactical and operational objectives during LISCO? BCT leaders must fundamentally understand the joint fires enterprise begins with every organic sensor, including forward observers, scouts, Bradley and other fire support vehicles, FSVs, radars, unmanned aircraft systems, UASs, long-range advanced scout surveillance systems, LRAS-3s, rotary wing, RW aviation, etc., delivery system, including troop mortars, task force, TF mortars, and cannon field artillery, FA, and Army Battle Command System, ABCS, including Advanced Field Artillery Tactical Data Systems, AFATADSs, Tactical Airspace Integration Systems, TAISs, and Air and Missile Defense Workstations, AMDWSs. These organic capabilities must properly be planned, maintained, and employed to justify a demand on requested limited echelon above brigade, EAB, assets required to fulfill capability gaps. It is also important to understand organic cannon artillery is most effective when massed at a decisive point and missions are fired in accordance with the prescribed firing order produced by properly managed AFATADS databases. The purpose of this chapter is to provide context for FA units preparing for and executing LISCO. The BCT's Direct Support FA Battalion, BN, is the specific unit of focus for the chapter, with Fires Battalion Staff Officers and Non-Commissioned Officers, NCOs, Battery and Forward Support Company, FSC Commanders, and First Sergeants as the primary audience. The chapter is a collaboration of key developmental billet complete observer coach trainers, OCTs, with an aggregate of about 100 rotations of experience at the National Training Center, NTC, Fort Irwin, California. Fires in Support of Maneuver. Successful commanders understand Chapter 1 of Army Techniques Publication, ATP 3-09.42, Fire Support for the Brigade Combat Team, 1 March 2016, as it relates to the organization and capabilities of the fire support assets within their unit. Fire support personnel assigned to the Maneuver BN's Main Command Post, MCP Fire Cell, Company Fire Support Teams, FISTs, and Platoon Forward Observers are more than just additional trigger pullers and staff labor. Fire support personnel provide maneuver companies with fire support coordination, precision targeting, types 2 and 3 terminal attack control, and effects assessment capabilities. Observers are the eyes and ears of FA. As they execute assigned tasks and respond to enemy actions, they are a major source of information for FA and maneuver commanders. With the commander's guidance, the staff's ability to plan from sensor to shooter assists maneuver forces and their ability to synchronize fires with maneuver in the deep and close fight. Fire support elements, FSEs, at echelon must consider the level of training, equipment readiness, and communications primary, alternate, contingency, and emergency pace plan to provide accurate and timely fires. FSEs and teams at the company, BN, and brigade level are equipped with the tools to provide precision target location. These tools include a precision targeting device, forward entry device, and imagery-based mensuration tools. Observers are equipped with an optical device using a laser rangefinder for distance and an azimuth vertical angle module to acquire direction and vertical angle. The greatest asset an FST has is the FSV. These platforms are equipped with a target acquisition and communication suite capable of processing digital calls for fire. Maneuver commanders must understand FSVs, similar to their assigned fire support personnel, are not an additional maneuver platform to augment their direct fire capability. Although outfitted with similar weapon systems, the primary purpose of FSVs are to facilitate effective targeting and engagement of enemy assets with cannon or mortar fires to enable maneuver commanders to achieve their objectives. Reporting these assets must be separate from maneuver combat power to provide commanders with accurate visualization of their unit's capabilities on the battlefield. Common equipment issues. Commanders must maintain their fire support equipment using their supply and maintenance discipline programs. Commanders and soldiers must be involved before, during, and after operations to ensure deficiencies are identified and rectified. Equipment shortages should be promptly fielded or identified through periodic item inventories. Periodic maintenance and a full post-field exercise recovery plan identify shortfalls in equipment capability. A structured recovery plan identifies all unserviceable equipment before and after exercises and generates field loss statements to support ordering parts for mission essential equipment. Soldiers risk developing a foundational gap if they are not taught how to properly conduct preventive maintenance checks and services, PMCS, on equipment and order shortages and sustained maintenance. Failure to identify and troubleshoot equipment maintenance faults at the operator level causes fire supporters to use a degraded and less accurate means of fire mission processing. The maintenance and reliability of the digital fires chain and its supporting communication equipment must be a primary focus of any fires echelon. Serviceable data cables, power sources, and connections are the primary sources of failure for the digital fires chain. Units regularly lack the ability to troubleshoot equipment failure while fighting to maintain the communication pace plan during operations. This inability to maintain or provide redundancy in communications equipment at echelon leads to significant delays in providing fires to the BCT. Commanders must emphasize long-range communications to allow firing batteries to move forward with the forward line of own troops, FLOT, even when mission command nodes may be static. Power amplifiers, OE-254s, quick erect antenna masts, QEAMs, and bench stock for every cable are vital to a firing battery and the FABN. The use of tactical internet, TI, at all levels, including the ability to troubleshoot and rectify user-level problems in the Soldier Network Extension, SNE, enables increased speed at greater range. Units also must place emphasis on self-recovery. During the offense and defense, a battery's ability to maneuver and not become disrupted by a deadlined vehicle pays dividends in its ability to be in place and ready to fire in support of the brigade. Other considerations include ensuring key personnel, such as radar generator mechanics, are in the proper location. Some units use these soldiers as drivers or radio telephone operators in positions far removed from being able to conduct hasty 20-level fixes for crucial systems at the BN Tactical Operations Center, TOC, and radar sites. Fires planning, targeting, and the deep fight. The fire support plan addresses available fire support means, describing how Army indirect fires, joint fires, and target acquisition assets are integrated with the scheme of maneuver to maximize effects in support of operational objectives. Fires planning in support of the deep fight is the integration of organic assets and joint fires into fire support planning to set conditions for tactical success. In the offense, fires in support of shaping operations facilitates the main effort and sets conditions for rapid transitions to subsequent operational phases. The Coordinated Fire Line, CFL, and Fire Support Coordination Line, FSCL, are two key permissive FSCMs when planning fires in support of shaping operations. Deep shaping operations occur geographically beyond the CFL and before the FSCL. The CFL, usually established in coordination with phase lines, is a line beyond the effective range of direct fire systems. This FSCM is used at any time within the boundaries of the establishing headquarters, HQ, to facilitate responsive, effective fires employment to protect the force and shape the battlefield for follow-on operations. The FSCL is a line that facilitates the expeditious attack of surface targets beyond it and applies to all land, sea, and air-based weapon systems. The CFL is usually established by the brigade or division commander, whereas the FSCL is established and adjusted by the appropriate land force commander, who maintains the ability to consult with superior, subordinate, supporting, and affected commanders to coordinate placement. All air-to-ground and surface-to-surface attacks short of the FSCL are controlled by the appropriate land force commander to ensure adjacent unit coordination and shared understanding and mitigate fratricide. In the defense, shaping fires delay, deny, and degrade the enemy systems and formations before their effects can be brought to bear on friendly formations. Targeting is a critical component of the fire's WFF. Maneuver and fire's functions are inseparable, complementary, and must be combined to set conditions for shaping fires, identifying triggers, synchronizing available organic and joint assets, and synchronizing and applying available combat power. Targeting through the Decide, Detect, Deliver, and Assess D3A methodology accomplishes this synchronization for the BCT. Targeting is an iterative process using the D3A methodology within the Intelligence Preparation of the Battlefield, IPB, and Military Decision-Making Process, MDMP, framework to identify high-payoff targets, HPTs, or targets identified as most beneficial to achieving the commander's intent, key tasks, and desired end state. Targeting effects can be addressed using lethal or non-lethal effects, organic indirect surface fires, electronic warfare, EW, Army Attack Aviation and Information Operations, and multi-domain operations, MDO, including joint fires and effects from the air, land, sea, space, and cyberspace domains. Targeting analyzes, prioritizes, and assigns available assets to create effects that best contribute to achieving the commander's objectives, considering operational capabilities and limitations. The commander's targeting guidance clearly and simply articulates the intent for shaping the deep fight, which focuses the staff on those specific targeting categories and enemy capabilities most critical to the brigade's success. The targeting team, through the Targeting Working Group, TWG, analyzes the ground tactical plan and synchronizes organic and joint fires in the deep fight to set conditions for achieving objectives. The TWG analyzes all enemy targets and identifies specific threat functions and capabilities directly interfering with the unit's ability to accomplish objectives and matches the appropriate response to those threats to achieve the desired effects and end state. Fires planning, battalion maneuver, and the close fight. The BCT commander is responsible for providing guidance for fires to ensure the fire support coordinator, FS Cord, and staff understand how, when, and where to synchronize assets to accomplish the mission. Based on the BCT commander's guidance and priorities, the FS Cord and Brigade Fire Support Officer, FSO, develop the fire support plan. The fire support plan addresses each means of fire support available and describes how Army indirect fires, joint fire support, and target acquisitions are integrated with maneuver to facilitate operational success. The key essential elements of the fire support plan are to expand scheme of fires into a full fire support plan reflecting current events, guidance, and capabilities. Integrate information-related capabilities and cyberspace electromagnetic activities, SEMA, input into targeting products. Assist subordinate staffs or units with planning and coordination. Present fire support portions of an operation plan, OPLAN, or operation order, OPORD briefing, including essential fire support tasks. Confirm specific command and support relationships, FA tactical mission assignments, high payoff target lists, HPTLs, target selection standards, attack guidance matrix and execution responsibilities, information collection requirements, assessment requirements. Success is contingent on the FS Corps or Brigade FSO's ability to communicate directly with BN FSOs to ensure the observation plan supports all brigade-level targets with a primary and alternate observer. The FS Corps and Brigade FSO are the links back to the FABN. Constant communication flow back to the FABN S3 ensures concurrent planning is occurring at the BN level. The FS Corps understands and articulates the BCT maneuver plan, BCT commander's guidance for fires, priority of fires within the brigade, and HPTL to the FABN. The following are key factors to track during parallel planning. Requirements for BCT special munitions such as obscuration smoke and family of scatterable mines, FASCAM. Understanding the general vicinity of targets to ensure firing batteries are within range, conducting reconnaissance, selection, and occupation of position, RSOP, and ensuring adjacent unit coordination. Changes and refinements to the plan that impact the FABN's ability to support the mission, such as range, available munitions, FSCMs, retransmission, radar coverage, division coverage, or changes to combat power. Before execution, the FS Corps is responsible for ensuring the following are completed to standard. Information collection and fires rehearsal. Brigade-level sensor-to-shooter technical rehearsal. BN-S3 FABN tactical rehearsal. Counterfire and planning for radar. Fires planning in support of counterfire operations is a collective effort by the entire staff. Commanders must understand effective counterfire requires planning and positioning in advance of anticipated fires, not a reactionary fire mission as conducted for much of the previous 20 years. The FABN targeting officer, TO, manages the counterfire process and focuses on hunting and killing enemy indirect firing systems. During the planning process, the BNTO coordinates the employment of target acquisition assets in the area of operations, AO. By understanding the AO, scheme of maneuver, and enemy's indirect fire assets composition and disposition, the BNTO develops zones to establish priorities for action. Collectively, the Intelligence and Fires WFFs develop named areas of interest, target areas of interest, NAIs, TAIs, and call for fire zones, CFFZs, by understanding the employment of enemy indirect fire assets and their capability, planning range, and position area locations. The BNTO must understand critical events, triggers, to plan and synchronize queuing schedules in support of counterfire. The target acquisition queuing schedule synchronizes the counterfire plan with targeting enemy FA systems based on intelligence and pattern analysis. Additionally, the queuing schedule acts as a planning tool for the BN Fire Direction Center, FDC, that enables accurate mission prioritization, ammunition management, and flexibility for the BN to mass fires. During the planning process, the BNTO must request approval from the FS Corps for a dedicated counterfire shooter battery. The dedicated counterfire shooter's purpose is to prevent the loss of friendly combat power during high-volume fire missions or decisive points of the operation. The counterfire shooter is responsible for the immediate suppression of enemy FA systems during pre-planned queuing windows. Radar zones are planned areas that prioritize actions focused on the commander's priorities. The FABN intelligence officer and BNTO develop NAIs and TAIs where the enemy indirect fire assets are expected to be located. Additionally, radar zones are templated over enemy indirect fire asset locations, locations of major friendly command and control C2 nodes, decisive events or objectives, breach sites, or areas where projectiles need to be ignored. Those areas are synchronized with the collection plan and zone management and consist of two types of zones, priority and sensor. Priority zones consist of critical friendly zones, CFZs, CFFZs, and artillery target intelligence zones, ATIZs. A sensor zone is an area in which acquisition must be ignored and placed around friendly indirect fire systems. A CFZ is an area that has been identified as critical for protection, and its loss may jeopardize mission accomplishment. Violation of a CFZ results in a Priority 1 fire mission for counterfire. A CFFZ is an area where it has been assessed enemy indirect fire assets are located. Violation of a CFFZ results in a Priority 2 fire mission for counterfire. An ATIZ is an area where an enemy is known to be located and requires confirmation to determine if intelligence is accurate and enemy indirect fire assets are located within the zone. All three priority zones provide targetable data and intelligence for analysis. Joint Permissive Fires Environment, Fire Support Coordination Measures. Coordination measures facilitate planning and efficient execution of operations while providing safeguards for friendly forces. Coordination measures are categorized as airspace coordinating measures, ACMs, FSCMs, maneuver control measures, air reference measures, AD measures, maritime defense measures, and air traffic control, ATC measures. They exist to deconflict, integrate, and coordinate joint forces. The Brigade Aviation Officer, Air Liaison Officer, LNO, Tactical Air Control Party, Intelligence Collection Manager, Operations Officer, and FSO play key roles in establishing procedures for integrating the joint airspace and establishing the Unit Airspace Plan, UAP. This starts with a joint fires integration brief focused on establishing a standard operating procedure, SOP, within the airspace. Creating these contracts becomes the baseline to ensuring all elements using the unit airspace are integrated. The UAP is the integrated set of ACMs supporting Army operations. Fire support coordination and air coordination requires continually coordinating fire support plans and managing joint assets available to a maneuver force. Fire support planning and coordination integrates and synchronizes Army indirect, air and missile defense, joint and multinational fires with the other WFFs into the commander's concept of operations. Munitions allocation, along with the commander's guidance for joint fires, are an important part of fire support planning and coordination, which is critical for joint fires effectiveness. Formal coordination binds fire support resources together in a common effort so the employment of each joint fires asset is synchronized with the commander's intent and concept of operations. Effective coordination during planning and execution is required to ensure suitable weapon systems adequately attack the desired targets at the appropriate time and place. Fire support must operate as a cohesive entity, be responsive to the needs of the supported commander, and be fully integrated into the supported commander's concept of operations. Supported commanders should direct their FS Corps and Chief of Fire's Brigade FSO to ensure all available means of fire support are fully synchronized with their concept of the operation. Establishing or changing an FSCM begins when a trigger or condition is met on the battlefield and the operations cell recommends and receives approval for change from the commander or designated representative. FSCMs enhance the expeditious engagement of targets, protect forces, populations, critical infrastructure, and sites of religious or cultural significance, and set the stage for future operations, FUOPs. Commanders position and adjust FSCMs consistent with the operational situation and in consultation with superior, subordinate, supporting, and affected commanders. The operations cell informs coordination elements of the change and effective time. Conditions that dictate FSCM changes are also coordinated with the other agencies and components as appropriate. As conditions are met, the new FSCM effective time can be projected and announced. Following directions to execute FSCM changes and to ensure all units have disseminated and applied the coordination measures, the current operations COOP cell will confirm with all liaison elements that it has the current FSCMs. Disseminating the locations and implementing instructions for FSCMs electronically by message, database update, and/or overlay through command and fire support channels to higher, lower, and adjacent maneuver and supporting units ensures affected units are aware of new FSCM locations and associated positive control measures, thus reducing the risk of fratricide. Joint permissive fires environment, artillery position area considerations. The commander must consider several variables when determining a suitable position area for artillery, PAA. First, PAA planning occurs from the planned target location toward the rear area. Next, a two-thirds arch range from the planned target is drawn on the map. Once staff members plot the two-thirds arch range on the map, they should plan PAAs within the two-thirds range arch to the target area based on the following. What is the slope, soil condition, terrain, and traffic ability of the PAA? Does the terrain facilitate movement within the PAA? Is the battery able to conduct survivability moves within the PAA? Are there any site-to-crest or intervening crest issues? Does the PAA location allow for permissive joint fires into the target area? Is establishing frequency-modulated FM voice and FM digital communications from the PAA to the BN possible? Is establishing communication with or without retransmission teams possible? What is the brigade retransmission plan? Where are the brigade retransmission teams located? What is the enemy threat? Does the enemy have direct observation on the PAA? Does the PAA use existing terrain features to prevent enemy forces from observation? Does the enemy have any firefinder radars within range of the PAA? Does the PAA avoid high-speed avenues of approach and have more than one entrance and exit? Plan for a primary, alternate, and supplementary position. How long will the battery use the PAA? Is avoiding adjacent unit command posts, CPs, especially the Brigade CP and Brigade Support Area, BSA, feasible? When is the battery conducting RSOP? Can a battery commander provide bottom-up refinement? Has the BNS3 or battery commander conducted adjacent unit coordination? Additionally, after determining suitable PAAs, the FS Cord and BNS3 must share the PAA locations with brigade planners for airspace coordination and adjacent units to ensure maneuver forces do not drive through PAAs during fire missions. Fires offensive and defensive considerations. Field Manual 3-09, Fire Support and Field Artillery Operations, 30 April 2020, states that during the offense, the brigade should push the FA as far forward as practical. Doing so facilitates the FABN's ability to range targets and keeps howitzers in place and ready to fire longer as maneuver elements move forward. Commanders must understand if mission requirements dictate if either platoons or entire batteries bound forward to keep pace with the brigade. The FABN S3 should pay specific attention to these moves and consider the time allotted to movement versus the number of howitzers required in a particular phase of the operation. Pushing close to the flot requires that commanders position assets to enable batteries to complete their field artillery tasks, FATs, while sufficiently synchronizing land use. Field Manual 3-09 also states FA units must consider the positioning of prepackaged ammunition stocks capable of rapid delivery, the composition and location of the combat configuration loads, CCLs, should be of interest to the commander. Training with doctrinal battery trains and logistics resupply points at home station, as opposed to simple flat rack drops, pays dividends when having to resupply during actual offensive operations. Units must define CCLs, at least, in the opboard. Ideally, the unit has practiced and codified CCLs in the Unit Tactical Standard Operating Procedures, TACSOP. While supporting a movement to contact, commanders should prioritize long-range munitions to allow the FABN to keep pace with maneuver forces as it gains contact with the enemy. In an attack, specifically one that contains a combined arms breach, correct CCLs must facilitate the suppress, obscure, secure, reduce, and assault SOSRA assessment process. Positioning of these assets requires synchronization of land use. The FABN S3 often completes this synchronization, But responsibility sometimes falls to the battery level, especially as the offense progresses. Battery commanders and platoon leaders must practice adjacent unit coordination so they are comfortable when it is time to maneuver to a PAA, position their trains, or get to a logistics resupply point. Data informs the commander's priorities when preparing for LISCO. Commanders must include items such as changes to combat slant and shortages in FATS, enabling ammunition within their essential elements of friendly information, EEFIs. Additionally, communicating firing capability changes and establishing wake-up criteria for all key leaders is vital to success in the offense. Above all else, the brigade commander must understand if the FABN can range the engagement area with the ammunition necessary to achieve desired effects. Subordinate commanders must communicate effectively to enable the brigade commander's understanding. There are numerous ways to improve garrison artillery training to help prepare for LISCO. Many units conduct artillery training and meet the minimum standards on how to fire their howitzers, but do not train on how they would operate against a near-peer threat. The following recommendations can assist with creating combat realism during peacetime training to include ammunition uploads, convoys, occupations, security, etc. Do not waste a training opportunity while soldiers are already in the field. Ensure FSC and firing batteries conduct a logistics resupply point operation, or resupply rearm refuel point, R3P, for every ammunition upload. Firing batteries should occupy the firing area with proper dispersion and conduct survivability moves as they would in combat every time they occupy. A field exercise with a single battery occupying only one time is a waste of a training opportunity and instills a false sense of security in soldiers when facing a near-peer threat. Units should ensure their pace plan is as robust during training as it will be in operations. Ensure all units' high-frequency HF radios and Joint Capabilities Release, JCR, Joint Battle Command Platforms, JBCPs, work properly and integrate them into the pace plan. Practice sending fire missions from sensor to shooter with different communication mediums to train those units and develop their situational awareness and experience when a fire mission is received via an alternate communication method. Lastly, enforce security at all times. Firing batteries need to be trained on defensive operations and how to react to enemy contact. Training should include the use of range cards, defense diagrams, and crew-served weapons positioning and manning, percentage of people on guard, and an overall plan and intent on how to conduct security. Consider all this during training events and squeeze as many training objectives as possible into field exercises to ensure units are thoroughly prepared for LISCO. Fires, special sustainment considerations. Throughout all phases of LISCO, commanders must clearly state their priorities for sustainment. Although most logistics leaders can deduce intent from their supported unit's mission and end state, a clear understanding of how the FSC directly supports the BN scheme of fires is often understated, particularly as a function of EEFIs. Field Manual 3-96, Brigade Combat Team, 8 October 2015, states the brigade typically positions its BSA one echelon behind the artillery. It is critical for commanders to understand the position and composition of the Field Trains Command Post, FTCP, Combat Trains Command Post, CTCP. The composition and positioning of key leaders at the FTCP and CTCP is driven by the time and space in which the offense is conducted. In shaping the commander's priorities for combat trains, staff members must provide the commander with accurate real-time sustainment capabilities and running estimates for commodity consumption at least 24 hours in advance. Although positioning maintenance and distribution assets forward often reduces repair and delivery times, commanders must strike a balance between enabling rapid replenishment and ensuring planned resupply missions are maximized. The need for unforecasted Class 5 drives many unplanned resupply missions. If units do not balance planned resupply missions against unforecasted resupply missions, they risk overburdening the distribution platoon and losing the ability to project combat power through transitions. BN staffs must anticipate unplanned targets during the MDMP and plan resupply missions appropriately to ensure distribution platoons have many opportunities to conduct maintenance and recovery. Army Doctrine Publication, ADP 3-90, Offense and Defense, 31 July 2019, states that transition between operations occurs when the commander achieves victory, reaches a culminating point, or receives a change of mission from higher headquarters. A culminating point is a loss of momentum driven through a loss of combat power or critical degeneration of classes of supply, whether through exhaustion, a gap in planning, or resupply failure. When transitioning from offense to defense, commanders must prepare orders to address when it occurs, what subordinate units will do, and necessary control measures. The BN's ability to resupply and reorganize combat power simultaneously with other tasks in transition is often challenging, but can be an ideal time for firing batteries to conduct maintenance on equipment in preparation for follow-on missions. Transitions shift emphasis from ensuring a force's ability to move forward, including resupply of petroleum, oils, and lubricants, POL, forward repair and maintenance, and replacing combat losses, to ensuring its capacity to defend at a chosen location. During transitions, FSCs must shift from drawing and transporting CCLs of Class 5 tailored for the offense to CCLs tailored for the defense. Within the defense, there is a definitive shift between which supplies the FSC holds and distributes. Commanders must strike a balance between what the unit requires in the defense and what it requires in the offense. This often necessitates a deep understanding of just-in-time, JIT logistics, and comprehension of what triggers exist for replenishment from the FSC to the firing batteries, as well as the BSA to the FSC. This becomes a balancing act for the FSC as it strives to maintain 100% on-hand capacity for firing batteries' sustainment loads of Class 5 CCLs in the defense, while requesting and building CCLs of Class 5 for the eventual transition to the offense. Additionally, it is vital for FSCs to continue building combat power in the defense through a robust maintenance plan to conduct scheduled and unscheduled maintenance activities. The flow of POL and Department of the Army DA Form 5988E, Equipment Maintenance and Inspection Worksheet, throughout this phase is paramount for a successful transition back to the offense. Conclusion. This chapter provides key lessons learned at every echelon from battery to BCT to effectively prepare and execute LSCO. The FABN staff and commanders have a large role in maintaining the firing capability to support unified land operations. Identifying friction points prepares units to overcome equipment issues, lack of training on systems, and lack of innovative solutions to maintain a BCT's indirect firing capability. Leaders and units must analyze their abilities to effectively shoot, move, and communicate. Effective home station training integrating multiple units at multiple echelons provides the most impactful results. Units will understand their shortcomings as the Army rebuilds itself to support multi-division exercises. Leaders must understand what is necessary to prepare themselves and their respective units for the right fight. How can they structure their training to match up to a near-peer adversary? How can commanders and formations at echelon run through realistic scenarios with forces the size of which they cannot easily or cheaply replicate in a live exercise? Unit cohesiveness and equipment readiness dictate how well formations dominate their adversary at the point of contact.